The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kuf Tzadi Hei Hilchis Kriya. This simon talks about the obligation to rent or to tear one's garments when a person passes away. Now, it's referring to one of the seven relatives, which would be a father or a mother, a sister or a brother, a son or daughter or spouse. And in Shulchan Aruch and in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you see it's brought directly after the laws of Geisus and Yitzias Neshama, the laws of dealing with a person who's near death and who just passed away. Now, our present custom, the Ashkenaz custom, is to perform Kriya at the actually just before the Levi, just before the funeral. And there are a number of reasons given for that. The basic reason is because they didn't want people not to want to care for the person who was dying, because in the back of their minds they're going to think, well, they're going to have to rip their garments. Another point is that at the time when the person is dying, people are sort of distracted by all the arrangements, so they can't reflect the same way. Whereas at the time of the Levaya, they really can reflect on the loss, and that's known in Chazal Shas Chimum, the time of the warmth, and if there's a time of the, you know, when a person really feels that it hits him, and that's why the Ashkenaz custom is to do it right before the funeral. I believe the Sephardic custom is to do it right after the burial, and again, there are sources for that as well. That's also considered a time where, I guess, they just buried the person, so therefore it really, again, sinks in the loss that they had. Now, the obligation to tear, the Aruch HaShulchan discusses that it's, the obligation is rabbinic. It's an asmachta, there's an allusion to it in the Torah, but it's not a Torah obligation, it's a rabbinic obligation. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan points out that throughout Tanakh, we find the idea of renting garments as a sign of mourning. So it definitely, there was a tradition for it, but it didn't become an actual obligation until later when Chachamim made it into an obligation. Now let's begin the Kitzer. Misha meis lemeis shehu chayv l'sablalov. A person who, a relative of theirs who they are obligated to mourn, as we mentioned, those seven relatives, chayv l'kroyalov. They have an obligation to rip their garments. Now, the Kitzer explains the following. What is the position that the person is supposed to be in when they rent their garments? So it says, V'chayv l'kroya me'umad. One's obligated to do it standing. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, V'yakam ha'melech v'yikras begadav. Again, this is a reference in Nach, in Navi, to renting garments. And it says that the king got up and he ripped his clothing. So we see that he did it standing. V'imkar me'yushav l'yotza. And if he would make that tear when he's sitting, he does not fulfill his obligation. To the point that he has to rip again. So the Kitzer again writes the Ashkenaz custom that one should do it before the deceased person is buried fully. And again, the reason is because that is a time when a person feels the loss the most, whereas if he would do it, say, during the Shiva, so he's already starting to go forward, so therefore it would be less of a Shas Chimam. Now, in Halacha, when a person has to stand when they fulfill an obligation, let's say for Tekiyas Shofar, we generally like to stand during the first Tekiyas, so the Paiskim discussed that one shouldn't lean on something either. If leaning on it, if that item would be taken away, they would fall. Because again, if that's supporting him, that's not called standing. Now, what about a person who is a yechayla, or a zaken, or who is infirmed or old and they can't stand? So then the Paiskim say that for them, because they don't have the option of standing, then they can fulfill their obligation in a sitting position. Now, it's important to mention also that the bracha of Diana Emes, which is actually made with Shem Malchus, with Hashem's name, so it's Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Diana Emes, that bracha is generally made at the time of the Kriya. And, which, again, in the times of Chazal, they would make that bracha immediately when the person passed away, and then they're recognizing Diana Emes, the true judge, that Hashem obviously has his reasons why he took this person, and they would rent the garment. There's an understanding that there's a connection between the bracha of Diana Emes and the Kriya. So it's usually done together. So today, when it's done, let's say, right before the funeral, so it's said then, the bracha of Diana Emes. I would like also to point out that this that I mentioned about the custom of doing it before the funeral, there are various customs exactly when that is. Some do it before the eulogies, some do it afterwards before they actually go to the Beis HaKfaras, to the cemetery. So again, there are different customs, but the basic idea is that today it's not done usually at the actual time of death, but it's done sometime before the burial, around the time of the funeral. Now let's continue with Siv Beis. Al kol ha'meisim shu mesabo aleihem, on all relatives that one mourns on, tzarich lekareb beveis hatzaver lefanav, one should do it around the neckline in front of him. The idea is it should be in front so people could see it. It should be obvious. V'tzarich lekareya min asafa ulamata v'loy l'reichav abeget. So there's an important halacha here that says that the kriya should be done in a downward motion. It should be a downward tear, as opposed to horizontal. And the reason why it shouldn't be horizontal is because then it looks like that, a person just got a rip in their clothing. Maybe they got caught in a nail or something, so that's why it got ripped. So, but if it's vertical, then that looks more like it's a sign of mourning. In the same way, the kriya is supposed to be done on a place that is not a seam. If it's done along a seam, so it looks like the seam just came out, whereas it's supposed to be done on a place that the beged is complete. Now, the Paiskim discuss those that have a practice that instead of tearing the actual clothing, they pin a black ribbon onto their shirt or onto their clothing, and they tear that. And all the Paiskim say that is not a fulfillment of the obligation of Kriya, because the obligation of Kriya is to tear an actual garment that you're wearing. And just by pinning a ribbon onto one's garment, it doesn't exempt them from that obligation. There is also interesting discussion about the fact that it's black, whether or not wearing black is a non-Jewish custom. Some feel that it's a non-Jewish custom, so that's also a different issue, that when it comes to mourning, we're supposed to mourn according to the Jewish customs and not according to things that are learned from the non-Jewish culture. Now, it seems from many Paiskim, from the Gilead Mashah and others, that a person is allowed to, say, before the funeral, switch into clothing that they don't mind ripping. Because since the obligation really comes at the when they're at the funeral, because that's when they really experience what happened, this is especially true when we're talking about a relative that wasn't there at the time of the person passed away. Where there, it's a little bit more complicated, because if the person was actually there when the person passed away, so then the obligation was really then. But say a relative that wasn't there at the time of the person's passing, and now, so at the funeral is really the time where they feel that the loss, and that's really the time, the obligation to tear. So before they go to the funeral, they can go and switch into clothing that they'd be more comfortable tearing. Let's say if they're wearing a very expensive suit or something, so they would be able to change into something else. Now the Kitzur continues in Sif Gimel. Chilukim yesh ben akriya shal ovav v'imai l'akriya shal shar krovim. There's a difference between the obligation to rent garments on the death of a parent than the obligation for other relatives. Akol ha'meisim kareya tefach b'beged ha'elyon v'dayay. How much does a person have to rip? So the amount is a tefach. A tefach is approximately 3.5 inches. So that's all he has to rip. Now, even if, let's say, he starts the tear on very high up on the clothing, so you have 3.5 inches, that's enough. So ein l'kra yoiser, and one should not rip more, mishum bal tashchis, because you're destroying something that's not necessary. In other words, if you have a halachic obligation to do so, then that's fine. But once you don't have a halachic obligation, then you're destroying something. First of all, one difference is that on a parent, one has to rip all clothing that they're wearing. So that means if a person's wearing, let's say, a jacket, which we'll discuss a little bit more about this, say they're wearing a jacket and a shirt, so they're supposed to rip both on a parent, whereas a regular relative, they only have to rip one. That's one difference between a parent and a regular relative. The other one is that it has to be al keneged liboy, that it should be near the heart area of the chest, meaning to say if one started the tear very far up, that and the tefach of 3.5 inches doesn't go down far enough, then on a parent they would have to continue ripping until it gets to the chest, the heart area, whereas on a regular relative, it's enough just to rip one garment to 3.5 inches. Now, there is a point made that in today's day, when people generally don't wear ripped clothing, meaning to say this person who rips their shirt because they're sitting Shiva, they're most probably not going to sew it and wear it again. They're just going to throw it out. So some want to say that that's not called bal tashchis if one were to rip more, because if you're destroying something that would be otherwise usable, so then that would be called bal tashchis. But once it's already not usable, the garment, if a person would rip more, then it wouldn't be a prohibition. That's what some paiskim comment on this. Well, let's continue in the kitzer. And now we get to a very important halacha over here, which is what clothing does one have to rip? So it says like this. So we said on a parent, one has to rip all clothing until opposite the heart. And the kitzer writes in parentheses, Shalefu habasar hagavaya shalazraya, shehu keneged, habasar hagavaya shalazraya. We know that when a person puts on their tefillin, it's supposed to be opposite the heart. And the idea is that area of the upper arm, that's opposite the heart. So that's the area that we're trying to get to when one does kriya for a parent. Now, the kitzur continues, chutz min aksoines she'ena kareya, says, but like an undershirt, one does not have to rip. V'hu habegat shu loivish rakel itim. I'm sorry, chutz min aksoines means to say an outer garment. Chutz min aksoines she'ena kareya, what does it mean? V'chein habegat shu loivish rakel itim l'mala mikol begadav. Again, we're talking about two garments here. One is aksoines, which is a undershirt, something that you wear directly on the skin, and that doesn't have to rip, and also a beggar that he wears on top, not all the time. And sometimes he goes to the marketplace without it, could go in mantel, like a jacket, or like an overcoat. This beggar he also doesn't have to rip. I'd like to give a little bit of background about this halacha. The Gemara speaks about a certain garment. It says that this garment does not need to be ripped. The kriya does not have to be done on it, even for a parent where one has an obligation to do all their clothing. And there are two explanations to what that beged is. One is that it's a beged worn on the skin, known as a beged shalzeya, just there to absorb sweat, let's say an undershirt. And the other opinion is the opposite. It's a beged that's worn on the outside of one's normal clothing, and a person doesn't wear it all the time. And basically, the Paiskim accept both ideas, and both are really limitations in what clothing a person has to rent and do kriya on, but for two opposite reasons. The reason why one is exempt from a beged shalzeya, a beged for perspiration, let's say undergarments, socks, these types of things, is because they're not considered to be real garments, because a person's only wearing them to absorb sweat, but they're not considered to be real articles of clothing. The the other garments, let's say the overcoat, the things that you don't wear all the time, so the idea over there is that it's not part of a person's regular clothing. So the person's obligation is to tear their regular clothing, not something that they wear sometimes. So definitely an undershirt or an overcoat, let's say, one does not have to wear. In the summer, it does not have to rip. In the summer, people go all the time without wearing a coat, right? Now, the question, there are a number of questions that the place can discuss. One of them is, what about a regular sports jacket, part of a suit? So some say, you know, depending on where a person lives, some people, you know, they never go out of the house without wearing a jacket. You know, they don't just go in a regular shirt. So for them, that's from the normal clothing. So then they would have an obligation to rip it. Whereas a person who you know, usually doesn't go with a jacket, right? Maybe on Shabbos they'll go with a jacket. Maybe to a chasna or something he'll go with a jacket. But generally he doesn't go with a jacket. For him, it's not. Now, they do say that it's seemingly that it's a prevalent among Ashkenazim to rip the a sports jacket, and among Sephardim not, to only to rip the actual shirt. But again, this could be dependent on even the different communities. Now, because of this question, the Sefer Yisrael Yismachas from Rabbi Felder brings from Ramesha Feinstein. Ramesha Feinstein says that when a person does kriya for a relative other than a parent, so they're only ripping one article of clothing, he said better to rip the shirt than to rip the jacket, because the jacket, you know, is a question. And even though, again, you know, among Ashkenazim, especially in places where the jacket all the time, the custom is to rip the jacket. But if you're only doing one kriya for a relative, you're not doing everything. It's not like a parent. So you should do something that everyone would agree has an obligation. So therefore, he says to rip the shirt. Now, another question is, what about the talis katan? What about the tzitzis? So one would think, well, tzitzis is a regular garment. You know, the whole idea of tzitzis is that you have obligation to put tzitzis on clothing that you're wearing. So therefore, one should rip it. Now, many people don't. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zatzal, it's said about him that he did not do it. And the reason is because although it is a regular article of clothing, but since it's specifically for mitzvah, because, you know, today we have a talis katan that's made specifically for a mitzvah, just like, say, a talis that one goes to shulin, right? So therefore, since it's for a mitzvah, you don't have an obligation to rip it. Whereas if a person, say, had a regular article of clothing that happened to have four corners, and therefore they put on tzitzis, then everyone would agree you would have to rip it. But since we have a special garment that's made for the mitzvah, therefore one doesn't have to. Now, another question is, what about a sweater? Now, a sweater, in the winter, people could go the whole day with a sweater. On the other hand, it's something that in the summer we don't wear, you know, so it sort of goes off and on. It's just there to keep us a little extra warmth. It's not like our regular clothing. But on the other hand, people do wear it at home, and it's not like an overcoat that people only wear outside. So there are different opinions about it. And again, this is something a person will ask their, you know, should ask their own Rav if it, you know, unfortunately comes up. They have to sit shiva. But this is a question whether or not one has to do kriya on a sweater. Now, another discussion is, what about pajamas and what they wear when they go to sleep? And that, everyone seems to say that they don't have to. Again, that's probably more like a beged shalzeya, because it's a time that people are not really getting dressed up, but just to sort of cover them up a little bit and to be comfortable. So therefore, one is not obligated to do kriya on pajamas. Now let's continue in the kitzer. If a person didn't fulfill their obligation and they didn't rip all the clothing that they're supposed to, let's say on a parent, lo yatsa, they didn't fulfill their obligation. And we don't say that since they ripped one clothing, it's enough. They have to do everything properly. Now women also have an obligation to do kriya. However, on certain aspects of it, we are more lenient because out of concern of modesty. So Isha Mishum Sniya is because of modesty, Tikra Tchila has a beggar attacked on the phone now. What she should do is, she should first tear the garment, the undergarment, meaning to say not the undershirt, but say a blouse or something like that, when it's still covered by, say, something else, you know, what she's wearing on top of that, her jacket or whatever she normally wears, but tachser as a karelin studim, and then she'd sort of turn it to the side so it shouldn't be noticeable. V'achar kach tikra as a beggar elyon, and then afterwards she should rip the outer garment. So the point is, you're not going to actually see her body because she's going to rip one while it's covered by the other, and then she's going to move it, and then after then she's going to rip the other, so it's not going to be one opposite the other. Shalei yizgal liba, because her chest shouldn't be seen. V'avshe hilavusha b'cholok, and even though we're not talking that there's nothing underneath, there is, you know, a thin garment there. V'kamakom ikim mishum pritzus, but nonetheless, if she normally doesn't go with that undergarment, that people see it, so therefore it's not modest for her to be seen like that either. So the point is that, say, if she's wearing, you know, over her undergarment, she's wearing, you know, a shirt, a blouse, and then on top of that a jacket, so she should rip the blouse while it's still covered by the jacket and move it to the side and then rip the jacket. Now, today, what women do is they use a safety pin also in to keep it closed. And a man is not supposed to use a pin to sort of keep it closed, because you're sort of minimizing from the sign of mourning. But a woman is supposed to use a safety pin to keep it closed. You know, people will see that there's a rip there, but it's not going to be opened like that. Now let's continue with Sif Dalet. Noegin she'al shar krevim karim b'tzad yamin. This is a custom that on other relatives other than a parent, the kriya is done on the right side. While al v'imay b'tzad smol, it's done on the left side. Why? Because there's a symbolism there. Fishat sarach legalas as liboy, because the heart's supposed to be uncovered, shehu b'tzad smol, and it's on the left side. Hubadiyevet ein zem akiv, but if it was done but if it wasn't done this way, then it's fine. The main thing is that the kriya should be done, and where it's done exactly, on the right side or the left side, doesn't invalidate the kriya. Okay, let's continue with Siv Vav. Akol ha'meisim imachlof begada b'sech shiva. What happens if, so after the funeral, the person goes home, they want to put on a new garment? So one is not obligated to rip a garment that he puts on then. Why? Because since at the time of the obligation, the time of a chimum, the time when it was the loss really struck him, he did his obligation of kriya. So now that he puts on new clothing, he doesn't have a new obligation. Well, of the imoy, but a parent is much more of an obligation to mourn. So therefore, imu machlof begadav b'meyachol shabasei chashiva. So if during the weekdays where one would be able to rip, he puts on new clothing, tzarach l'krei b'hem, he does have to rent them as well. Ach l'kavod Shabbos yachlof begadav, but on Shabbos one should change their clothing, v'lo yilbash beged hakarua, and they should not wear the ripped garment, and this is exactly the custom. Now, what should one do if one doesn't have other clothing? So they should have pushed the move the ripped part in a place that's not noticeable. Now, again, the idea is that we mentioned before that one is, at least the man is supposed to leave the ripped part to be noticeable as a sign of mourning. But on Shabbos, where we minimize the demonstrations of mourning that are noticeable to others, so therefore one could turn it in a place that one wouldn't see it. Now, the Kitzer writes over, understands over here that a mourner does not wear Shabbos clothing. I believe the prevalent custom is that a mourner does, but again, the Kitzer says, understands that they don't. The Shabbos is that they switch their clothing on Shabbos. They're still wearing weekday clothes. But to wear Shabbos clothing, not. Now again, I believe it's a common practice that mourners do wear Shabbos clothing, but they don't wear freshly laundered. We wear a Shabbos suit, but it's not freshly laundered. It's been worn already. It's not new. But again, there are various customs when it comes to many areas of Avelis. Siv Zion. I call him Asim. Now, what happens afterwards? Is one allowed to repair the rip? Mitzad One could do like a loose stitch, l'achar shiva, after the 7 days, and do a full stitch, they sew it up properly, l'achar shloishim. Because the idea is that where a person rented the garment, they're not supposed to just quickly sew it up again, because that's a symbolism, that's a respect for the person that passed away, and therefore they're not, therefore within shiva, on other relatives where they don't have an obligation to do kriya again, they could put in a loose stitch. After shiva, put in a loose stitch, and after shloishim, after the 30-day period, they could do a full stitch. Well, avima shol achar shloishim, and after a parent, they're not allowed to do that until after. They're not allowed to do the loose stitch until after 30 days. But one should not fully sew it up forever as a sign of respect to the parents. What about if you're going to take, cut out the ripped area and sort of put a patch there? Aser, even that's prohibited, as the kitzer. But the custom is that within 30 days, the custom is that even a loose stitch they don't do within 30 days for other relatives. As we mentioned, that a man does not use a safety pin to sort of cover up or close up the ripped area of isha, but a woman, even on a parent, she could put a loose stitch, or we said definitely use a safety pin for modesty reasons. Now this is a fascinating halacha. We see to what extent this obligation of respect to a parent goes, is that the rip on a clothing that one ripped out of for kriya for a parent, shasrul tafran, that one's not supposed to tie it up, not supposed to stitch it up properly. Even if you sold the piece of clothing to someone else, also alekech the tafran, that person's not allowed to do it. So even other people have to respect it. So therefore, if you do sell it to someone else, I guess they really like your piece of clothing, so you have to tell them, listen, you cannot sew it up 100% because there's a kriya there for a parent. And it's prohibited to sell to a non-Jew because the non-Jew is not going to care too much about this custom. So therefore, you're not allowed to do it. So it's a fascinating thing how far we see this obligation goes. Sivches. Al kol ha-meisim, on all people that are deceased, im l'sham ad shloshim yoim ena kareya. So if a person doesn't hear about it until after 30 days, he doesn't do kriya. And the reason is because the obligation of kriya, as we mentioned before, is b'shas chimum. Chimum literally means warmth, but it means when a person feels the emotions. So if a person hears that unfortunately the relative passed away and it's been a while since it, then it doesn't have the same impact. So therefore, they don't have obligation to rip kriya. Well, of the imai, but on a parent, it's a different relationship. Karila oilam, they always rip, meaning to say, even if 2 years later, they say, you know, they get a letter that, you know, unfortunately, your father was passed away 2 years ago, and they have an obligation to rip then as well. Bugadol shem ala b'shas shmiya. Now, so the clothing that he wore at the time when he heard about it, he has obligation to rip. But clothing that he puts on afterwards, he doesn't have to. And the reason is because since it's not so immediate, so when he hears that initial shock, then he has to rip. But even though he will sit shiva at least a little bit, as we'll learn about later, but if he changes his clothing, he wouldn't have to do it because it still doesn't have the same impact. Now, we mentioned before that one could change their clothing before the time of the funeral in order that they could, you know, decide what they want to rip. Now, there are those that understand that this halacha on a parent, one does not have that, not able to do that. Meaning to say, even if they're wearing their fancy, you know, $800 suit, they would have an obligation to rip it. And the reason is because since the only time when you have the obligation to rip is the time of the hearing, because once that passes already, since it happened so long ago, there's no more chimah, there's no more strong emotions, so therefore the obligation is all, would be to rip the clothing that he's wearing at that time, and therefore he would not be able to change. This is not entirely clear in Paiskim, but this is what it seems.